system, Neil. That system is our enemy. When you're inside, you look around, what do you see? Businessmen, teachers, lawyers, carpenters. The very minds of the people we are trying to save. But until we do, these people are still a part of that system, and that makes them our enemy. You have to understand, most of these people are not ready to be unplugged. And many of them are so inert, so hopelessly dependent on the system, that they will fight to protect it. Were you listening to me, Neo? Or were you looking at the woman in the red dress?
Well, which is it? As we wrap up another week of broadcasting, talking about real truth, talking about real solutions versus sophomore solutions. Which is it? Is it the woman in the red dress? Or are we going to focus on the real problem out there and help our friends and family members and co-workers and neighbors and colleagues unplug from the matrix? We are on a rescue mission. As I've alluded to many times, you are part of the Delta team. We are going in to rescue our fellow countrymen and try to persuade them, maybe sometimes even against their will, just kidding, to unplug from the matrix. We need to be able to make good arguments. We're going to talk about that today. Welcome to the Friday edition of the Mark Kreslin Show here on the Crusade Channel, part of the Veritas Radio Network. Radio the way it should be. This is a public trust. We have a duty here at the Veritas Radio Network is to tell the truth. We're not going to give you pie in the sky, 30-second sound bites, completely unattainable ideas like Take Back America. We're not going to tell you any of that stuff because it would be a lie. It ain't going to happen. But we are going to tell you the truth. As painful as that truth may be, as difficult as it may be to hear it, as Jesus said, Jesus, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords himself said in the Gospel of John, you shall know the truth and the truth shall make you free. Do you want to be free? Do you want to be unplugged? I hope you do. I'm glad you joined us here. We're live Monday through Friday, 6 a.m. Central Time to 8 a.m. Central Time. I am then followed by my good friend Mike Church, host of The Mike Church Show. He picks it up at 8 o'clock, broadcast live until 11-ish, and then we have more live programming for you today. We have the Suzanne option. I have the wonderful privilege of filling in for Suzanne today. She will not be on the air, so you will get to hear 3 hours of Kreslin's blather. Whether or not that is of any value to you, we will find out when we bring up our stat checker to see if there's the normal 55 million people listening to the Suzanne, and I kill it down to 10 people. We'll see how quickly those numbers fade. So anyways, I'm glad you joined us here. I have a website, markkreslins.com. You can email me through that website, mark@markkreslins.com. By the way, folks, thank you for the emails you send. I get a ton of them, folks, and my apologies and my tardiness getting back to some of them. And it's not that I don't appreciate the thoughts and ideas, but if you saw my inbox, you'd know why. But I need to get better at it. My apologies straight out of the gate here. But you can email me. Please feel free to at mark@markkreslins.com. I will always look forward to reading your emails and your encouragement. Some of the ideas I get come from you. And I try as best I can to remember who said what and then properly credit people. Because people who come up with original ideas that are very effective and useful to communicate a truth, I love using it. So keep sending the emails. I appreciate it. You can also connect with me through Facebook/The Mark Kreslin Show. Please, when you're there, like the page. It enables us, when I send stuff out, to automatically connect. you'll be able to see things that are breaking around hashtag the American Union that fit into the theme of this show, which is freedom. I'm not interested in trying to take power in Washington, D.C., and then force half the country to live under a set of ideals I believe in. I would prefer to just voluntarily collect and commune with a group of people that believe what I believe. But that cannot happen. Let me put on Prophet Kreslin's hat here. I think it's time for another prophetic utterance from yours truly. This is another shooting fish in the barrel prophecy, but nonetheless, I'm going to issue it and make it seem like it's earth-shaking, like it make it seem like it's profound. Let me issue my prophetic utterance here and pronounce with crystal clarity, there will never be a country, a body, a landmass that will hold 320 million people that will believe exactly the same. There, boom. Mind-blowing, right? Did that just shake your world like it shook mine? That will never happen, ever. It will happen in heaven, where there will be billions of people who will willingly bend their knee before the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. But there will never be, this side of heaven, a landmass, a country of 320 million people who will agree on the simplest of things. Let's apply an issue to my metric that will never happen. We have this little quaint social problem in our country, right? It's called abortion. I'm going to talk about that later in the show, but for the sake of setting up the show, we have this little quaint divisive topic in our country called abortion. Do you think we all agree that that's a innocent baby and should be protected by law? Exactly the opposite. We know there were at least 7 people in hashtag the American Union who believed that they had the power to define life in such a way, in a trimester way, that you could kill it under the wonderful, vaunted Constitution. So we know we have factual evidence that were at least, of the back then, probably 280 people in 1973, there were 7 who wore black dresses and are politically connected attorneys who rule as oracles from the Supreme Court. We know there were at least 7 of 280 million people who believed that there was a right, there was a constitutional right. There's one for all of you constitutionalists out there who still hold fast to this belief that the Constitution is this. You gotta stop just throwing out buzz terms, folks. You don't know what it means. Don't say I'm for the Constitution when you don't know what the Constitution even is or means or understand. Can you quote, can you identify what are the purpose of the 7 articles? Do you know there are 7 articles? So we know we have at least 7 politically connected attorneys in black dresses who in January 1973 believed that the Constitution provided a right for a woman to kill her baby. But we know there were a lot more than just those 7 oracles, right? There were millions of other people in hashtag the American Union who believed likewise and cheered with this new constitutional right they could put in their purse. I got a get out of jail free card from the Constitution, and I can whip it down at the counter of any abortion clinic, plop down $395, and boom, problem solved. There were millions of people who rejoiced at that ruling. And then fast forward to July or August of 2016 and the abortion fest, oft also referred to as the Democrat National Convention, where the flag of killing a innocent baby proudly was hoisted up the flagpole and people cheered. Folks, on one issue, just one measurement, across this fruited plains, this great a country, there are millions of people that were cheering that theme in the Democrat National Convention. How can we possibly say we are united? We are United States. We're one people. We're all Americans. How do we even use those terms? Why do you think you don't hear me use the term American very often unless it slips out of my tongue? Because I'm not. I'm an Oklahoman. I'm a Christian first. My first identification is as a Christian. My second identification is as a husband to my wonderful wife, Patty. My third is I'm a father to four wonderful children. What number am I on? Three, four. My fourth identification is I'm a citizen of Oklahoma. And my fifth identifier is somehow I'm stuck in this union with a bunch of other people that have no problem killing babies. How can we possibly proclaim this idea that we are a United States? Under which states, under which metric are we measuring that? So back to my prophecy. Maybe greed. The thirst for wealth and materialism, yeah, we're probably all united on that one. I'm going to get to that later in the show. Ooh, Greslins, I'm moving my mouse around. I'm getting close to that click-off button. You start heading down that road. I will pick up that smartphone app and I'll put my finger on that pause button. You better stay away from prosperity and wealth, and you stick to abortion and why we need to end it, and maybe even beat up Hillary a little bit. Don't you get too close to that button of trying to send some conviction my way. We'll get to that later in the show here. But I wanted to start out with a prophecy, with a prophetic utterance, that there is no way possible for there to be anything resembling a United State. There is no way possible for 320 million people to live in one state and agree on the same things. It's not going to happen. Never. As I alluded to, it will only happen one place, and it's not this side of heaven. So, number one, even for you well-meaning Christians out there, stop trying to bring heaven on earth. You're not going to do it. You're not God. You're not Jesus. You are not riding in on the white horse and settling all scores. You weren't even asked to do that. Or told to do that. So, we have to fix our eyes on the things that are possible, not the things that are impossible, and then get frustrated when it doesn't work. We're going to get to that in an article I've been trying to get to all week today by Matthew Sheffield, The Echo Chamber. It doesn't help us to be talking in an echo chamber. We need to advance our ideas with tempered by the reality that you're not going to convince 320 million people to believe what you believe. And I would make a case you shouldn't be using the sword to do it either. how committed to our ideals of honoring God, a high level of morality connected to that, how committed will they be to those ideals when the only reason they're doing it is because we put a gun to their head? So, okay, Kreslins, if we can't be a United State of 320 million people, then what are we? Well, why do you think we talk about republicanism on this show? Why do you think we talk about the issues of control? You don't have it, and you know it right now. You know you're controlled by 545 little megalomaniacs in Washington, D.C. You know that. You may not want to admit it. You may want to watch your opening Saturday football games and think you're free, but you're only as free as they let you be free. You got to think about it this way, folks. They allow you to be free right now. You've got to really get that anchored in your mind. They allow you to be free right now. Why? Because if they jailed everybody, there'd be no productivity. There'd be no money to soak out of the economy. They wouldn't be able to self-aggrandize the way they do. So they have to just let you live in an illusion of freedom that you're free. Watch your football. Watch your opening day college games. Go to work. But they always dangle out this little threat, don't they, constantly? That you're only as free as they allow you to be free. It's in their interest to keep you living in the matrix, ignoring that you're in the matrix. It's to their interest to do that. Why? Because you become a willing participant in your own execution. If they really... Now, this has been the benefit of Edward Snowden and Julian Assange. They're actually peeling back now. Imagine being in their shoes right now, folks. These guys have governments after them who would have no problem putting a bullet between their head or their ears. Think about the kind of government you have that would try to kill Edward Snowden or Julian Assange. And this is the kind. This is. I'm supposed to stand up and pledge allegiance to this? Are you kidding me? But they will do that to you, if you get uppity. If you start to really challenge them, they'll do it to you. Do you remember those folks at Ruby Ridge? The wife was shot while she was holding a baby. Do you remember Waco? When you get crosswise with this government, they will kill you. And this is the kind of government you want? This is the force you want? Not you in a listening audience. I know you listen because that's not what you want. But this is the matrix most people are settled with. They're okay with an illusion of freedom. They're okay with the statement, I don't have anything to fear from my government as long as I'm not doing anything wrong. That is one of the most insane, imbecilic statements anybody could ever make. I know you don't mean to make, and I don't mean to... I used to say it, so I can't even, you know, I'm the biggest imbecile here, all right? I used to say that. Okay, I will admit it. I used to say stuff like that because I never stopped and actually thought of it. It just sounded good. It's like, well, you know, I'm a pretty moral person, and as long as I'm not doing anything wrong, why do I have anything to fear? Guess who gets to define what wrong is? Those megalomaniacs in Washington, D.C. define what's wrong. And you better hope you know what's wrong. In case you don't, that doesn't absolve you of being charged with a crime. Ignorance is not a legitimate defense. Oh, I didn't know. Well, tough. You're a citizen of the United States. You should know this. Kreslins, get the handcuffs on. Put that man in shackles. So you live in an illusion of freedom, folks. You're as free as they let you be free right now. So how do we change it? Well, we stop thinking that we're all alike, number one. We're not. You are very different. I'm telling you, if you live in Oklahoma, you are very different than people that live in Maryland. Yes, you have livers, and you have kidneys, and you have lungs, and you have, you know, hearts and all that. Yes, physiologically, you're very similar to the people who live in Maryland. But on a belief level, I am telling you, I've lived in both states, you are different. And right now, the liberal, if you will, progressive ideology has gotten complete control of the government. And you who might believe in Oklahoma in transcendent eternal truths, you might believe in getting the order right in the system of government, you got no control. None. You are going to get rolled. And unless we break the thought process that, oh, you just watch, Kreslins, the Republicans are going to do it this time, until enough people break that their hold on that strategy, well, we're just that much farther away from actually bringing about substantive change that could allow the order to be right, that could build communities that embrace transcendent and eternal truths. Until enough people abandon the idea that you hear on mainstream conservative talk radio all day, until enough people abandon those ideas, well, you know, we're just going to struggle. We're going to continue to have to be faithful. We're going to have to do what we do because it's the right thing to do. That's what we're going to have to do, folks. Duty has to take over now. For those of us who are in the vast minority, I will say, of trying to do the right thing, you're going to have to be duty bound. There will not be a overnight solution to this. But it starts with just some philosophical premises you agree with in a country of 320 million people, in a landmass between the Pacific Ocean and the Atlantic Ocean. You are never going to get total agreement on just about anything. Can I get an amen, or do we still believe somehow we're going to persuade all 320 million people to end abortion, that we're not going to end it until all 320 million people are going to vote to end it? It's not going to happen. So that's my prophetic utterance for this morning. Of course, I'm not going to go as far as saying, thus saith the Lord. I'm not getting myself in that kind of trouble. I'm not, and I will not be baited into it. So I will issue a pseudo-prophetic utterance from time to time and give myself wiggle room because I'm an American, and that's what we do. I ain't getting pinned down by this. If I'm wrong, I want to be able to come back and say, well, I didn't say it was from the Lord. I just used godly-like language to bolster my point. So you have to give yourself, in this world today, plausible deniability, folks. I've learned that from Bill Clinton. Give yourself some plausible, give yourself some wiggle room out there. Don't commit to anything. Just give yourself some latitude to back out if you need to. I'm just kidding, folks. You know that. Listen, I posted an article I want to get to. And I thought it was encouraging. And you know, there are days we come on the show here and talk about the difficulties we face. But there's also times to come on here and talk about a win. And I can't remember where I found this. Somebody probably put it up on my Facebook page last night or sent it to me by email. But it's from the Maine Wire. The title of the article is LePage, the governor of Maine, to feds, states don't work for you. I couldn't believe my eyes when I read that headline. What? A governor actually understands federalism? I was obviously here in Oklahoma. Our governor, Governor Mary Fallon, does not understand federalism. I don't think Greg Abbott understands it down there in Texas either. And I thought, you know the old saying, I'll believe it when pigs fly? Well, I went outside and looked around. I thought, are pigs flying? They must be, because we've got a governor that kind of understands federalism. This is what the article, the author of the article is Krista West on the Maine Wire. It's out on my Facebook page. Go over to my page. Facebook.com/TheMarkKreslin Show. Please, while you're there, like the page so we can stay in touch. But I've also sent it out on Twitter, and you can connect with me on Twitter at Mark Kreslin's. But I want to read what she wrote. Last month, Governor Paul LePage, by the way, did you know that his wife works as a waitress? This is a pretty cool story about these two people. They don't make a lot of money as governor of Maine, which I actually think is a good idea. By the way, I think let's see what member of Congress today, if you're a member of Congress and you're listening to this program, I would appreciate if you would put in legislation today that reduces the salary of the average congressman from $175,000 down to, let's say, $30,000. And I think you should tighten up the House rules on yourself to prohibit any evidence or extracurricular activity with lobbyists. In fact, I think we should block the doors if you're a lobbyist. You should not be allowed in there. Maybe LePage is, maybe Maine figured out we better not give these governors a ton of money. They'll stay forever and aggrandize themselves when they leave office. Anyways, that's a separate commentary. Last month, Governor Paul LePage received a letter from the U.S. Department of Commerce requesting his cooperation in turning over classified information on Maine's welfare program recipients, allowing the federal government to gain, quote, access to data from your state's food assistance, family assistance, and welfare programs, close quote. That's the letter he received. But don't worry, they promise to take good care of our confidential information with rigorous privacy laws that, quote, are among the most stringent in the nation, close quote. Given recent events, we clearly have nothing to be concerned about, as violators will face steep fines of up to $250,000 and up, or 5 years in prison per violation for leaking out private information. Here's LePage's response, dated August 5th. His response, she writes, is worthy of a mic drop. You know, when you hold your microphone up, you drop and you walk away from the stage, that kind of mic drop. In his letter, LePage said, quote, "This is a bold request, considering almost every request Maine makes of the federal government is denied, and our efforts at reform are generally met with a resounding no from Washington, D.C. The Obama administration has been reflexively obstructionist in its dealings with Maine, particularly as they relate to our welfare programs, and now it expects cooperation with a request of its own regarding welfare programs. It is important for President Obama and the entire federal government to know this. States don't work for you. Our relationship is a two-way street." So we have a little hint that Governor LePage understands federalism. He sends a bold statement back to President Obama and the Department of Commerce that it's important for them to remember and to know that states don't work for you. However, unfortunately, that is one governor. In most of your states, your governor believes he's nothing more or she's nothing more than a manager of a federal district, because every time the federal government asks them to do something, they do it. The federal government comes in and says to a state legislature and a state governor, jump, and guess what the governor and legislature do? Yes, sir, massa, how high? We finally have one governor, Governor LePage of Maine, who properly frames the issue. I'll read his line again in his response to the request by the Department of Commerce for private information about welfare recipients. "It is important for President Obama," he writes, "and the entire federal government to know states don't work for you." He goes on to cite specific times that the federal government has threatened to pull funding for the food stamp program or stood in our way as his administration worked to ensure the integrity of our welfare programs through important reforms such as putting photo identification on EBT cards, implementing time limits, work requirements, asset tests, stricter fraud penalties, to name a few. So every time Maine tried to do something to actually become better stewards of the money they rob from their citizens in Maine, Obama stands in the way. Obama and the federal government stood in their way of any kind of reform. So, Secretary Pritzker from the Department of Commerce, LePage goes on to write, to answer your question, I will absolutely not be directing Maine's welfare program directors to enter into a data sharing agreement with your staff for the proposed outline in your letter. I will, however, share with you a few other numbers for your census. From 2010 to 2015, food stamp enrollment nationally increased from 40.3% from 40.3 million to 45.8 million. During that same time, in Maine, food stamp enrollment decreased from 241,445 recipients when I was first elected in November of 2010 to 194,735 recipients last month. So they knocked off almost 50,000 recipients of welfare in their state. While on the other hand, our bipartisan corrupt, and folks, don't forget, this was a bipartisan government during Obama's administration. The Republicans were in charge of the House and the Senate, folks. So this is bipartisan collusion. So when he speaks to the federal government, he's not speaking to the Democrats in the federal government. He's writing to both parties. During the time they had control, from the period 2010 to 2015, the enrollment, people that are using confiscated, stolen money to feed themselves, grew from 40.3 million people to 45.8 million people. 5.3 million people were added to the rolls under this bipartisan-controlled government. However, in Maine, during that same period, he decreased the enrollment in that state by 50,000 recipients. The article concludes with this. The federal government may judge the success of the food stamp program by how many people are on it. But here in Maine, we judge success based on the number of people that move off it. She closes, good for you, Governor. While the mainstream media post article after article criticizing LePage and his administration for the bold actions he has taken to put his state back on a financially stable ground, I'm left wondering how we will ever find somebody worthy to replace him. Anybody, you know, this is a world, folks, we live in when doing right is to be ridiculed, scorned, mocked, criticized by your, as Mike describes them, federal overlords. You know, those great statesmen, those great Patrick Henrys who occupy Washington, D.C. Doing right is wrong today. You have to understand that. Doing right is wrong. Doing wrong is right. We live in an upside-down world. Now, I propose we get away from that world. I don't suggest we stay in this. Are you kidding me? Why would I want, why? I don't say the pledge. I don't sing the national anthem. I don't stand up. What is there to support in this thing? I'll tell you, this is the difficulty, isn't it, folks? This is the great problem. There's too many people that are still holding on to a nostalgic belief of hashtag the American Union. That we were great, and therefore that makes us great. Well, folks, we are crummy right now. There's nothing to be proud of in this country when it comes to this government. What can you possibly get teary-eyed about in this system of government, in these megalomaniac sycophants who run it? What is there possibly to be thankful for? An illusion of freedom? Well, I guess to a degree you could say, boy, I'm grateful that I believe I'm free. I guess you could be thankful for that and say, well, Lord, thank you for allowing me to live in the matrix. Or you could confront truth and deal with what we have. What is there to pledge allegiance to here? What is there to rejoice about here? What is there to be thankful? We kill 1 million babies a year. We rob, steal, thief. Well, what's the word for theft? Well, whatever it is. We rob everybody who's productive of their hard-earned money. We take their property from them. We steal. And yet Christians run around talking about this as God's ordained country when this government that rules this country now, this oligarchy that runs the show, violates the very commandment Christians say they believe in. Thou shalt not steal. Yet every single day, this bipartisan, corrupt, and morally bankrupt government is stealing from future generations. It sucks $3 trillion out of the economy every year. Look at the tax receipts. You can find them. The Treasury Department issues a monthly report on this. They show the smoking gun with no embarrassment. They will post the smoking gun numbers. This year, we lifted, we lifted some $300 billion out of the economy. And we did use a gun because you know that if you don't pay, we'll use the gun against you. So what's there to be thankful for here? What am I supposed to pledge my allegiance to here? What am I supposed to? I don't live in nostalgia world, folks. I don't swoon when I watch Mayberry RFD reruns. I don't say, boy, that was a good time back then. Things are just so much worse. Yeah, things were better because they were simpler. But let me, as I've said before on the air, I am a product of an illegitimate affair in the 1950s. You know that vaunted time we all point back to and say, well, that's Mayberry RFD, things were better. Well, my sister and I were both byproducts of an illicit affair. So maybe things weren't quite as pristine as we think they were back in the 1950s. So what am I supposed to be excited about? When am I supposed to come to the microphone and say, USA, USA? What? That we won 146 gold medals or however many we won? I don't know. I don't know what the answer to that question is. But yet I'm condemned. When I point out the evil of the bipartisan, corrupt, morally bankrupt system, I'm condemned. When I point out the ridiculousness of a two-party system, I'm condemned. When I call Republicans to account for the fraud they've perpetrated for the last three decades I've been involved in politics, I'm condemned. When I point out that the Pledge of Allegiance is supporting a socialist pledge. I'm condemned when I call into question our foreign expansionist efforts that have killed, maimed scores and thousands of people. What am I supposed to be pledging allegiance to? What are you supposed to be pledging allegiance to? you know, the majority is not always right. Just because there's a bunch of baby boomers running around out there who still believe they can bring back Mayberry RFD, let them live in la-la land. If you're a Gen Xer, if you're a millennial, join with us here at the Veritas Radio Network. The baby boom generation, I have become convinced, I was talking to a good friend of mine yesterday about this, is one of the biggest impediments to real change. Why? Because they got theirs. Now they're trying to hold on to it. You Gen Xers and millennials, my wonderful baby boom generation, we hosed you. We hosed you. We guaranteed you would not have the same life we did. And now, when confronted with that fact, that truth, we're gonna close our eyes on that, folks. We're going to demand a return to Mayberry RFD. We are going to do whatever we can to hold on to that Social Security check. That will drive our activities going forward. We will demand what is ours. You know, there was a, we refer to that World War II generation as the greatest generation. History is going to condemn the baby boom generation. I'm telling you that right now. History books will not write well. They'll call us the worst generation. Why? Because even at this last moment when we have a chance to change things, no, we're holding on to ours. So the solution is not in in the 65 and older crowd or the 57 and older crowd. The solution is somewhere with you guys in the Gen X millennial community. Number one, you're feeling the pain of what we've done to you. And you know your outlook and the future is bleak. I'm sitting here looking at a picture of Bill Clinton, 97-year-old Bill Clinton, and 97-year-old Hillary. They have no problem hosing you further. They're the baby boom generation. For all of Reagan's vaunted speech about limited government, how limited was it during the 80s, folks? I was there. That's when I worked. Kreslins, you do not talk about Rinaldus Magnus, whatever, however that's said. You don't call into question Ronald Reagan. Kreslins, that is, I will click that button if you say this one more time. Well, folks, truth. This is the Veritas Radio Network. For all the vaunted talk about limiting government, getting government out of our lives, let's do some analysis during the Reagan administration. How successful was he? Can't live in la-la land, folks. We got to live where we are. We have a bipartisan corrupt, morally bankrupt. We can't ask Thomas Jefferson to come back alive and solve our problems for us. We can't dig old Patrick out of the grave, prop him up like Weekend at Bernie's, and become kind of a puppeteer and get Patrick to say things to us. Nope, we are here. We are in the 21st century. We have to figure it out. We can use history as a guide. But you're not bringing the Philadelphia Convention forward. You're not bringing the Second Continental Congress forward to re-sign a Declaration of Independence. It will be you, it will be me who fix this problem. Not Patrick Henry, not George Washington. It will be you and it will be me. We better be thinking of real solutions versus sophomoric solutions. Well, it's that time of the show again. I'm going to pitch why you need to become a Founders Pass member, and I do so unashamedly. Believe me, there is nobody over here at the Veritas Radio Network that is self-aggrandizing. We are putting our money where our mouth is. We are trying to labor forward to build something that can draw more people to truth, and then that truth may actually animate them and motivate them to do something within their states to end the evil wicked, bipartisan, corrupt, and morally bankrupt national government's involvement in their lives. But in order to do that, we need your help. And we thank you to everybody who has the thousands of people who have already stepped up and became Founders Past members. Folks, just think about that. You are part of thousands of other people that agree with what we're doing here. You're not alone. You're not, and if you're in your car right now, you're listening on the free Veritas Radio Network app. By the way, if you don't have the app and you want to listen in your car, just go to your app store and type in Veritas Radio Network. You will see that it's free. Just download it. We got some pretty cool features on that thing now. You can listen live by clicking a button. You can call the show by clicking a button. You can listen to Trump uninterrupted, commercial free. So you don't have to listen to the filtered Trump on Fox News or CNN or MSNBC or any place else. You can listen live. We're doing everything we can to offer you excellent programming at your fingertips. So if you're listening right now and you want another way to do it, please just go to your app store and download the app. It's free. It'll cost you nothing to do it. But you're part of, and in doing so, you'll become part of a community of thousands of people right now, folks. We see our stats. We know how many people are listening. We know how many people are checking in. You're part of thousands of people. We need to get it to millions. I get it. We all know that. But, you know, as I said yesterday in the book of Zechariah, chapter 4, verse 10, it says, do not despise the day of small things. I don't. I rejoice in what's happened here already. My gosh, the fact that thousands of people have seen this vision. I don't mean a supernatural vision. I think you know what I mean there, that things can actually change. Things can get better. Well, folks, we're sitting on the microphone and around your workspace, your home, your car, wherever you are. We're all connected right now. We're having the same conversations they had back in 1774, 1775. We're having the same conversations they had in 1620 when they decided to board those rickety ships and head across the Atlantic Ocean to find new land in the Americas to start over. We call them the Pilgrims. Even the settlers in Jamestown, they left a few years earlier. We're just having those same conversations. That's what we're doing every Monday through Friday here in the Mark Breslin Show. We're sitting around a Starbucks saying, what do we do? Well, we also then throw out ideas, and then you all converse back and forth. You send emails. You get on my Facebook page, and we keep talking this around. You're part of thousands of people. You're not alone. You're not the only one thinking about this. And there's something good about that. There's something good about community. And we're building a kind of a community here. So if you're not part of the community, you want to be part of it in a deeper way, then please consider becoming a Founders Past member today. It'll cost you $76.76 annually. That's a small price to pay, folks. That's two Olive Garden dinners. But look at all the content you get. Look at what you get. Are you going to hear anything you just heard today on mainstream conservative talk radio? You know, if you tune in to Rush and Sean and all those guys, as well-meaning as they may be, you're going to hear these platitudes about, you know, the voting for the lesser of two evils. This is the most important election of our lifetime. You're going to hear that. You know, you don't even have to tune it in. The only reason to tune in to any of those shows right now is their dramatic and entertainment value. They're pretty good. They're pretty skilled people. I listen to them from time to time. They've got a real skill. They're fun to listen to in some cases. But that's the only reason to tune in. You know what's going to be said all day, just like you know what's going to be said here too, by the way. And I'll talk about that when I come back from this break, why I do what I do here. And it's really a way to serve you. It's a way to break the paradigm we have been trained in for decades that I've been aware of. And we'll talk about that when I come back from the break. But right now, please become a Founders Past member today. Don't put it off. If you become one, you're going to get a copy of Mike's movie that he wrote, produced, and directed, The Road to Independence, the movie. It tells the real story about the movement towards the Declaration of Independence. It talks about, in a dramatic way, Patrick Henry and George Washington and Thomas Jefferson, those who boldly led their fellow countrymen to independence. Some of you in this audience are going to be Jeffersons. I'm telling you, I know it. You're going to be Jeffersons. You're going to make those kinds of statements. Well, you may be part of a movie going forward. Who knows? But you will get a copy of this movie, and you'll be able to learn the real story of the Declaration of Independence versus what you were told in public schools and stuff. So if you become a Founders Pass member, you're going to get a free one of those. If you become a Founding Father, a Crusader, or make a $500 cash donation to our monthly crowdfunding campaign, we're going to send you a beautiful kitchen cutting board from our good friends at McClureBlock.com. They donated a bunch just to try to entice you to become a Founding Father or a Crusader, or make a donation. Folks, we're listener-supported radio. We're not NPR, so don't listen to that. We're a for-profit entity, but there ain't profit right now. Let me assure you of that. But we are a listener support. We only have this because of the thousands that have already stepped up. We just need to be in the tens of thousands. And folks, some really neat things can happen. I'm telling you, some really neat things can happen in your lifetime. But we've got to get this network stronger than it is already. We've got a great base to grow from, but we need to grow. So consider becoming a Founding Father or a Crusader. We had a Crusader sign up the other day. It's for $1,095. My word, that to me is humbling. When I read the report daily of the people who sign up, it's humbling. It really is. And we're grateful that you appreciate the product we're trying to deliver here. So please consider becoming one today. It's easy to do. Just go to VeritasRadioNetwork.com, click the join button. It's simple. It's one click. You'll see a whole host of ways. Click on a button, give your credit card information, and boom, you're part of what we do. We'll be adding more and more content to that page. We'll be doing more and more things together as a community going forward. So please consider becoming a Founders Pass member and not putting it off one moment. This is the Mark Kreslin Show on the Crusade Channel, part of the Veritas Radio Network. Radio the way it should be.